This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. That Nylabone dog. Also, speaking of killing that Nylabone, joining me in the studio for the first time, lady tramping a bone with my dog as we speak, comedian, writer, Devin Field.
Oh, sorry, I just had to get this bone out of my mouth. Just about to make out with your dog.
Dude, it's a great way to strengthen your teeth.
Yeah.
It's going to help you in the long run.
Well, it's actually got a lot of the weird vitamins and calcium that I need to get that great dental structure. He's really going for it over here.
Yeah, it's disgusting after a while.
Is that a real bone of any kind or a fake bone? No, that's a fake
bone. No, that's like, you know, some hippies will get after you about the Nylabone because like small little pieces come off. But this dude is like he's like a cartoon. Yeah. Like he just, if he inserts a real bone in his mouth, out comes like blood. You know what I mean? Like
oh,
he could just absolutely, he chews through everything.
Yeah.
If you get him a toy that has, it says indestructible all over it, but there's like one tag that says like machine wash, he'll just pull at the one tag weak for like 6 or 7 hours. It'll be like wet and long, like one string. I'm like, all right, well, you hacked the toy until it's not fun anymore.
I feel like I hear that from a lot of dog owners that is like the case, is that they will have toys that are designed to be like, no dog can destroy this, and then within a day their dog has destroyed.
Yeah, it's just like a dogs are seeking the weak. Like if he gets, we start getting him flat toys, toys without stuffing in them, but if we get him a flat toy that has a squeaker in it, by like, if we leave it home, we'll come home and the squeaker, like a plastic ball, will just be in his mouth and he'll be like chewing. I'm like, all right, well, I gotta take this piece of plastic away from my dog.
Those are what, they're very like, I guess basic, but those are, I feel like some of my favorite photos on the internet are like owners coming home to their dogs having destroyed a room.
Oh.
It's just like objectively one of the funnier
it
visuals.
It works so much, especially if you caption it with the dog's quote.
Yes, of course.
That shit works for me. He's like, what toilet paper?
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's the shit.
Oh, you're home early. Just like the dumbest first thought. But you look at it and you're like, you nailed it.
It works so much. It's better than any Far Side comic.
Yeah. Fuck you, Gary Larson. Yeah.
You go fuck yourself, Gary.
Gary Larson lives in the area of Seattle that I grew up in, kind of nearby. But he is sort of like known because in one of the fancier neighborhoods, Laurelhurst in Seattle, he has this huge house right on the lake.
Oh,
he's
still
like this big kind of gated community, sort of fancy area. So people are like, that's Gary Larson's house. It's the same as when we, on the other side of the lake, we're like, that's Bill Gates' house and stuff. Like, he's like insanely rich.
That's crazy.
Yeah. At least his
and
real
who's
estate.
Bill Gates?
Yeah, I know. Some freaking nerd. Who cares?
I just saw a meme going around Facebook, like, passed amongst aunts and uncles that was like, Bill Gates limits his kid, they have one computer in the house and it's in the kitchen. The kids don't have smartphones. And it's like Mark Zuckerberg's kids don't have smartphones. All like, and it was like all this shit that was like the leaders, the richest, the people getting richest off tech let their family use it the least. So they must know more than the rest.
It's just absolutely not true. It's just 1,000% not true.
Like,
can you imagine if at Bill Gates's Medina, Washington mansion, there was one like Dell PC in the, off the kitchen? Like everyone, like he sneaks down there to look at porn. And like
his kids fucking hate him because they're not allowed to have iPhones.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they're like, Jesus, Dad.
Dad, let me have an iPhone like all my friends. It's like, I can't have my kid getting photographed with a fucking iPhone.
Exactly.
I imagine he's cursing and like grabbing his daughter's arm really hard.
Dad, you're hurting me. No one knows the side of Bill Gates.
I won't let Jobs fuck me again.
Just so dark.
Bill Gates' house. He's inside. Like, you see like a flash of light and he's like choking a woman.
Yep, that's
he donates
that's about
a lot.
The malaria, he's curing it. No, that I have two things in this vein. One, my dad worked for Microsoft Publishing for like years and years, and he was able to. He got the chance at one point later on to have dinner with Bill Gates, like him and like six other kind of Microsoft people, like had dinner, not at his house, I don't think, maybe. But he ended up sitting right across from Bill Gates for the dinner. And he said that Bill Gates like barely touched his food and just kind of lightly rocked back and forth in his chair. Like he was talking to everyone and like hanging out and stuff, but he just, for whatever reason.
Absolutely believable.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those where you're like, yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah,
like,
Bill Gates, an absolute genius who's like, I got to eat dinner with fucking five. Yeah.
Let me just shake my way through this.
The only comfort I feel is numbers. One, two, three.
Yes, yeah, just quietly repeating. But then I was just at a wedding of a friend this weekend in Seattle, and
I'm going to Seattle next weekend.
Oh, you
all
are
Seattle talk.
Oh,
yes.
That's a great time. Are you going for Bumbershoot?
I'm going to play rugby, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like a travel team that I'm part of. We go somewhere once a year. We treat it like a bachelor party. We play
that's
a game
fun
on Saturday and party Thursday.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're playing?
No, like, I don't know. Actually, no. I should get all those.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of. Would it be like in Seattle proper? You think?
Yeah. Well, why? Because I guess in my head, everything is either LA or New York because I'm the most close-minded human being.
Sure. But there's some great like athletic fields that my buddies play. There's so much like pickup soccer in Seattle. And every time I go like visit a friend, like this one friend of mine who used to live there, he'd be like, yeah, I'll be at this park, like come meet up. And you'd walk up and it would just be the most idyllic like group of dudes kicking around the soccer ball. And you're
that's
like,
that's what Seattle is. That's like what Washington State is in my head is like Goonies. You know, it's just all like, it's all like
that's what it is
beautiful
in my
cliffs
head
and like cars. Cardigans and everyone is like, you know.
I went to an outdoor wedding this weekend where they got married on a dock, and I was a groomsman, and we were all barefoot. And like,
that's fucking
and
awesome.
They got in a canoe and paddled away together.
No!
She paddled up in a canoe with her dad
no!
and got dropped at the dock and then got off, and she was in like this great like 70s hippie kind of wedding dress. It was awesome.
This makes me so happy.
I know. It was the best.
Disproportionately happy based on the fact that I don't even know you that well.
That's right.
No, let's
you have zero concept of who these people are.
But to me, I'm like, fuck, that's because if my wife always jokes, if I was allowed to completely design our wedding, we would have worn tux shirt and jacket, board shorts, no shoes, and been on the beach.
Yes.
And then ran in after.
Yes.
And she's like,
I know.
And that's why I planned the wedding.
Yes, that's right. I know. And there was something that was so cool about that of they are very like low maintenance, just fun, easygoing, outdoorsy
fucking
people.
Cool.
So they
the
were
dad
just like,
delivering her on a canoe.
It was
delivering
so.
Is not the right way to phrase it. Here you go, sweetheart. She's yours now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm out of here. Where are you going, Rich? What's going on? But I was hanging out with that friend of mine who got married. I won't say his name for the sake of this, but he was a part time Spanish teacher at Lakeside High School in Seattle, which is like the fancy rich kid high school, and. Jeff Bezos' son was in his class, and he said that he's like, oh yeah, he was cool, you know. But one day he came in and was like, hey, I'm sorry, I couldn't finish that assignment. My printer wasn't working, or my laptop was broken. He goes, like, my laptop was broken, so I couldn't finish that assignment. And my buddy was like, all right, turn it in tomorrow. But in his head was like, I'm supposed to buy Bezos' kid's laptop doesn't work. He can't finish his assignment because of a tech issue. Like, give me a fucking break.
If only there was a way you could order a laptop that would be here in one day.
If only drones knew where your house was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only you could one-click purchase a laptop and have it delivered to your house in a day.
Yeah.
Nah, if only there was someone.
It shows how ballsy just teenagers are, that they'll just be like, I'm just going to go with the tried and true. Like, even if you're the guy who, you know, invented printers, you're like, I'm going to say the printer didn't work.
Hey, this one always works.
Yeah. So, tech people.
So we're, obviously, we're talking about Michael Keaton.
We're talking about, clearly. Listener, you can tell this deep into the podcast, we've really delved deep into our target subject, Michael Keaton.
You had previously spoken about fast talking wise guys or smart Alex or something.
Kind of the weirdo like nonstop riff machines. I was on Will Hines and Anthony King's podcast. Don't
one
get
of my
me started.
Favorites. Pretty
great
much
podcast.
Between that, I always say that and the Jeff Rubin show, two old school podcasts. I just ripped that off from my idea.
Yes. Like, well, and even this.
But I even eliminated the part of Don't Get Me Started where someone comes on and talks about something I don't even know anything about.
Right.
Like,
where you learn.
Yeah, no.
You eliminated the part where you grow as a person.
No, I just bring people on and I'm like, let's talk about shit I like. And they're like, thanks for having me. I hope five more people watch my special.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Hey, I went to Gabrus's room and he yelled at me about his clothes. I don't know. That was it.
He said, he kept saying I was wrong about Keaton. I was like, what did you bring me here for?
If you didn't want to talk about this, but even this episode will be a ripoff because I basically just talked about Michael Keaton.
Don't go back and listen to it because we're going to repeat all that info.
That show is dead. They're not doing new episodes. Don't get in now.
Yeah.
It's toast.
Stay on this one, please.
Stay locked in here. Michael Keaton.
To cut through all of it, you skip all the fast talking weirdo shit. We're going straight to the core.
Source.
The archetype, he does very well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and just to like further define that, I feel like it's actors who can get into that kind of comedic sort of like really quick fire, like rapid paced kind of riffing, comedy riffing, but also be sort of deeply committed character performers. Yeah. Like they're very grounded in, like,
I was gonna say,
a heavy amount of acting is going on.
Yeah, they're like small. They have to be small with their, like, it's not Robin Williams.
No.
But it's Michael Keaton.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an interesting distinction because, like, I feel like that description, you could be like, oh, do you mean Robin Williams?
Until
like,
you no, say, because I know you don't mean that.
Because he's broader. Robin Williams is broader than that.
And there's something about, I think, and maybe I'm putting too much on Keaton, but. It's
Let's
from
put
a low,
everything we can on Keaton.
It's from a low status POV a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah,
often for that character. Yeah. I think when that character is high status, it's less fun.
Yeah,
or at least you're less on that guy's side. But
and
like,
that's maybe true for me with comedy in general. I don't know. I feel like I'm more. I love confident idiots, which is definitely like a type that Michael Keaton plays a lot. And
confident idiots.
Is there
are
anything
like,
funnier than that?
No, I think Will Ferrell saw that and was like, I locked in and made like four of the funniest movies.
Yeah,
and was like,
so many people have like just being. Confidently wrong about something is really like I feel like that's more than half of the Simpsons characters are like confidently wrong about everything.
Right, right.
Chief Wiggum is just like a confident chief of police, but is the worst police officer you've ever seen. You know,
confidence, like unbacked up confidence, is like very funny.
It's just
thing
very
to me.
Purely funny, and I think it lets that character be like really committed and really believe the things they're saying. You know, you're not undercutting it with. Kind of knowing irony or a little self-commentary like, hey, well, wink to the camera of straight-manning yourself. You're very grounded in what the fuck you're doing. So I think Keaton fits that mold nicely. And then I think Michael Keaton is also kind of my favorite actor because then he got to show off the real true acting chops of very serious, legitimate movies. It's one of those, I feel like he has a bizarro world dream career for me.
Right.
Like, I don't think I will ever actually attain the things he has attained. I don't think our paths are the same at all. Wow, what a brave claim by me. Yeah. Being like,
I don't know if I'm going to be as famous as Michael Keaton.
I think I'll be pretty close. But
I love that Devin guy. He is humble.
He's accepted that he might not get nominated for multiple Oscars. Yeah.
But it still might.
Yeah.
You got to leave the door. Probably. You got to leave the door open.
Look, never say never.
Yeah, you don't want to say. Yeah, just in case Hollywood's listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, trust me, Hollywood's not listening to Gabers.
David O. Russell, if you could cast Gabrus and I real quick in, one of your movies about white men, that'd be great. It seems like there should be a part for us in there. I don't know.
Hey, you gotta have. I could be from Philadelphia.
Yeah, hey. Just wear a suit and be like, hey, fucking cunts. I feel like that's all those movies is just being willing to say.
Is that why I like him, Sean?
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, we're three kings. Let's go find these cunts.
Sidebar, that video of him behind the scenes on I Heart Huckabee's yelling at Lily Tomlin is horrific, but one of the funniest behind the scenes videos ever. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I fucking love that
one. The timing of when he yells at her and storms out, and then they're left alone on the set, and he's gone for like 35 seconds, and they're kind of muttering to each other, I don't know, what should we do? And then then you hear him yelling again, and you're like, what? And he re-enters from a completely different entrance than the one he left, and he's still, like, he hasn't stopped yelling. He just did like a lap that you didn't see, and then came back screaming.
Yeah. A legendary fucking on-camera blowout.
It's crazy.
So great. Here's my question for you along similar lines. When did you flip to being on Christian Bale's side? At what stage in your career where you're like, you know what? These lighting guys kind of do fucking do whatever they want.
I mean, why are you fucking about? Why are you fucking about it? His eyeline. That's one of those like, you know, that was just, it could, he, at the end of the day, Christian Bale is so wrong because regardless of whatever doofy shit this guy was doing in the background, all it would take would be like, can we cut? Hey man, I really need you to stop doing that.
Exactly.
I can't concentrate.
There's
when you're
no way that his reaction there was like the sixth time a grip was fucking around, right?
Like, right. Like he was really holding it in, yeah, was like, ugh.
All right, I let this go on all day long. No, he's.
I wanted to say something, but yeah, no, he was so fucking ready to pop.
I just like, remember the day I was like, what a monster. And then like I was like, whenever that I heard that first, and then like 10 years later working in the business, I was like, I could kind of see how you might flip out if you're Christian Bale.
Totally.
If you're like, you're paying me to be here, I'm Christian Bale, let me fucking do my thing.
Especially if I don't know, it's I just think like having, I mean, I've filmed very little like real stuff. I've been on very little like yeah. real sets, but the few times I have been and the hours have been like at all weird or whatever. But even just like any kind of normal like 8-hour shoot, it puts me in the weirdest mood. I'm right. like, my face is covered in makeup and I'm wearing clothes that are like too tight and I just feel like very kind of tense and like my shoulders are like locked up.
I don't know who
anyone is because...
And they're all watching me yes. whenever I talk yeah. and I don't know who any of these people are.
And I should have put in more effort to learn who these people are, but I'm too nervous and have not, you know, like... But anyway, I just think I could see how you add to that like mega fame and yeah, like right. onto all that tension where you just be like, yeah, why am I gonna let this person throw me off at all? Like, right. I'm so uncomfortable. So, I can't have like this.
Just too close to pop, though.
Yes.
That's
like, he was ready to pop. And Michael Keaton would never do that, and that's why he's the better Batman.
And that's
all right.
Oh, shit. Michael up. Keaton is my favorite Batman.
Yes, I think so.
He's maybe tied close to Bale as Batman, but he's my favorite Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
He's hands absolutely. Down the best Bruce
That's
Wayne.
Why yeah. he's the most important one. Yeah, 100%.
So is like that the first movie? The first movie I know that I locked into
yeah, please.
Recognizing Michael, and it took, and you'll, when I tell you the first movie, you'll be like, of course you should recognize Michael Keaton at this point.
Sure.
It's Multiplicity.
Multiplicity. Right? The it's one like that he's in 1,000 times.
yeah. The one that he's 1 through 4 on the call
yes,
sheet on.
Yeah, he, exactly.
That movie, when I, like, I had loved.
Which is one I've largely missed, and then saw kind of recently.
Yeah, and that's like, not oh. the time to see it because yeah. it is not does not hold
does
up.
Does not hold up. Not a very good movie at all.
A little homophobic.
Extremely. Yeah, like one all. If you don't know the premise, it's he's some kind of no. He's not a scientist.
He's
but
a construction
he gets,
worker.
Right, he's like a contractor who but he gets cloned.
He clones himself, and he clones. And he realizes the clone because he doesn't have enough time for his family and his career.
Yes.
So he clones himself. And by the way, can we talk about how many movies from the 80s and 90s where like
yes.
the hero is a dad who learns to love his own family? Like the thing you're supposed to just like objectively yeah. do.
Shit, I guess I should show up for my children.
right. And it's like, dad's a hero. He's back. And you even in those movies, not to be all fucking... And feminist gabers, but in those movies you can see the woman being like, they're like, yeah. daddy's back, and you can see the mom being like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like Sally Field in Mrs. Doubtfire
yeah.
has this amazing house in San Francisco and is raising these three kids on her own, has managed to snag a new successful boyfriend who right. seems to care for them. He's not that horrible. And then like meanwhile the dad is like, I guess I gotta get back in my kids' lives, and ends up like exposing himself to his children while wearing an old lady Halloween mask. Like he's like well, abusive in that.
Yeah, it just becomes like a fucking insane movie yeah. when you just
it's really insane.
Yeah, it's a terrifying.
Yes, he's one of the more terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah, and so he ends up cloning himself, and basically the gimmick of it is he has a bunch of different kind of sides of his personality are reflected in the different clones. And
the line
the whole,
from
like,
the movie that yeah. really explains it and also yes. dates the movie is yes. like, you know how when you make a tape of a tape, you know when
yeah,
you make
like a Xerox of a
yeah. Xerox, it loses a little something.
Yeah, it's a little
well,
fainter.
This is number 4.
Yeah, yeah, so they get more mentally handicapped as they go on.
Yeah, but in weird ways. The first one is too macho.
Yeah.
The second one is too feminine.
Yeah, he's like basically.
He's the one who
yeah.
cried. The best joke in the movie
yeah.
is woman's like, Andy McDowell plays the wife, right? And she's like, wow. And he goes, I've heard number of people cry after sex. And she's like, yes. I feel like it's usually the female. And it's like, and then the fourth clone is a guy who wears a boot on his head. And
yeah,
is,
and it's just like a
he's
moron.
A, yeah, he's, yeah. I can't explain. He's not fully, he doesn't have full adult capacity.
He's touched.
He's got a fucking boot on his head and it's goggles, so and he says, "Hi, Steve," and then it's he really shaves nuts. His tongue with no blade.
It's that's very like 90s too, of just sort of like, and we put in a retard. Like, yeah. I hate not to use that word, but that feels like what the joke was.
That
of the
is
decade
what they would like. Have said. Then. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's like that's like I rewatched or I watched for the first time. What is the movie? Drop Dead Gorgeous, the one that's like a beauty pageant in a small
yes.
town.
Oh yes, is Kirstie Alley in there?
Yeah. No. It's Kirsten Dunst and Amy Adams and a bunch of different. Anyway, but it's.
I think of Veronica's Closet.
Will Sasso plays a character in it who is just like the town retard, is basically what they say. I think they even say that word. Again, I apologize for using this word, but it is the vibe of this joke, and it's so horrendous. It's in a family of like three brothers who are kind of country bumpkins in this town, and he's the one. I think Amy Adams even has the line of like, "The retard took his pants off again," or something.
Oh,
like, it's
God.
Really, I mean, insane.
The amount of like Cohen, not Cohen brothers, who are the other
yeah,
brothers.
Coen brothers roasted the mentally handicapped regularly. People forget that. But
yeah, really... I mean, honestly, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, they go pretty hard on it, yeah.
But in, what the fuck are their names? But in Something About Mary.
Farrelly Brothers.
Like, yeah. Warren and that.
Oh,
it's like
totally.
The amount of punchlines that were just someone was... Okay, so yes. Keaton did that, and he'll always have a dark strike against him.
Yeah, but so that was your first one. Was
that was my first one, and then I realized I had liked Batman, and I had liked, I didn't realize how much I liked Mr. Mom or Gung Ho.
Yes.
But, like, Multiplicity, really, I was like, notice the actor, because he's in it so much. You're like, oh, I really like this guy. And as a kid, you're like, he can do these four amazing characters.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think for my first one was, I don't know timeline-wise if it was Batman or Beetlejuice, but the one that got into my head further was Beetlejuice. It was just like, it hit my brain at exactly the right time. I was like, this is the funniest man I've ever seen. Like, Beetlejuice is the funniest character ever, was like my
opinion.
It's
crazy, because Beetlejuice doesn't even seem like Keaton.
No.
Right, which is
he's like, unrecognizable. Yeah. He's in the like insane makeup.
It's so
good. He's doing
good.
This crazy voice. He's wearing like a half fat suit, you know, and he's just like, he just looks, and I think that maybe is part of what locked me in is, excuse me, just a iced coffee burp off mic there. I think that's what kind of hooked me in is just he is it's such a committed character performance. To the lack of ego in that, the simultaneous huge amount of ego to riff so hard and so loud and go so broad, but then the lack of ego to be like unrecognizable to kind of transform and all that. It's really exciting.
And you saying it hit at the right moment is key, because I feel like there's a certain, like, I was at the age where I thought nice fucking model, honk honk, was the funniest thing you could do. And I'm referring to Beetlejuice kicking over a tree going nice fucking model and then honking his dick twice.
Yeah, there is a honk sound effect. Yep. You're like, where'd that come from?
And that worked so much. I mean, I was that whatever age I was,
like, perfect.
Yeah,
a perfect joke.
Right. I could not imagine. The second favorite joke that as I matured was when he's trying to get Lydia to say Beetlejuice, and he's like, and she's like, bug, spider, and he's like. And he like points over there and just looks over, and a beetle is reading newspaper, and he goes, "Hey, how's it going?"
That's a very fun joke. There's a lot. I think that's also part of why that's just such a amazing, creative, cool movie. And like, the structure of it is really weird and interesting. Like, Beetlejuice is only in 20 minutes of it.
He's named the titular
after
character.
His titular character, and he's like the cover. He's the whole like marketing point. Felt like something that maybe was just because if you watch it, it's a very like Tim Burton story about a lonely teenage girl, goth, who like discovers this weird ghost. You know, it's like that's what Tim Burton's real interests are. But I think then they found this performance, and we're kind of like, oh, holy shit! Yeah. Like, this is what people are going to remember about this movie.
This has got Keaton at his comedic best. Catherine O'Hara is fucking.
Catherine O'Hara is unreal, and this is my favorite little Beetlejuice thing is Catherine O'Hara in the movie Waiting for Guffman, where she and Fred Willard play like a community theater actors. They have a whole scene where she's describing her acting process, and she says she's studying this very interesting technique where when you look at someone, when you look at your scene partner, you close your eyes, and then you look away and you open your eyes. But anytime you look at your scene partner, you close your eyes. And she demonstrates that in Waiting for Guffman. It's this really stupid bit, and she's doing that in Beetlejuice. she, when anytime she looks at Winona Ryder, she closes her eyes. She never makes eye contact with her.
That's so funny.
I noticed it on a late recent rewatch, and then I paid attention in all of her scenes, and that just made me just really happy about Catherine O'Hara. I was like, that's such an amazing,
that's
weird
such a choice. Funny
choice. Like, what the hell are you doing? And then
she's so
she's unbelievable.
In government, she's like. Yeah, the notes are extensive. He's like, and I'll talk to her for 60 to 90 minutes after each production. Like the idea that a husband gives his wife.
Noting his wife for an hour. Yeah. Anyway, so Catherine O'Hara is my favorite actor of all time.
Yeah. So we're talking Michael Keaton.
Catherine O'Hara. But yeah, so I think that my favorite Beetlejuice joke, just because this is a podcast where white guys quote movies to each other. Yeah. But
by the way, that's called a podcast.
Yes. I'm so sorry. But just, I think my flavor of joke in that movie is his whole plan, this whole movie has been to marry Winona Ryder. It's like been his driving goal the whole time. Then he finally gets to the altar and he makes her say, I do. Yeah, he can't find the rings. But then they go to him to say, I do. They're like, do you take him to be your wife? And he goes, and then he steps out and like does a big aside kind of half to camera. And he's like, well, geez, I don't know. Pretty big decision. I always said if I was going to do it, I was going to do it once and I was going to do it right. God, what am I doing? And then he pops back and is like, yes, I do. Like he just has this like crisis of faith with the, right at the end of like a romantic comedy moment, kind of like, should I? But it's just such a stupid aside. And that's very like in that kind of riff. It's just like he rattles off so much in like 3 seconds and then pops right back in.
Right. It's like Jesus. You kind of know it's a riff because it couldn't have been written.
Right.
Like, it was like if you read that in the script, you're like, what is happening at this moment? He says, maybe yes, no. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's a real like Bugs Bunny kind of bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But so I think those are the ones that I liked. And then Batman, of course.
Oh, fuck,
and then
dude.
Then that kind of led me back to like go look at his earlier stuff and learn about like then that was when I learned about him doing stand up like years later that he started doing stand up. And that really blew my mind just because I started doing stand up and still do. And so it's like, there's just something about like, oh, this serious actor did stand up.
Right.
And there's some clips of his on YouTube and they're like not very good, but there's flashes of like very good stand up in them.
Oh,
He has this one joke where he talks about like Bazooka Joe Bubblegum and he like fake reads a strip of Bazooka Joe Bubblegum. And the joke is something like, he's like, nah, this one's really funny. He's like, Bazooka Joe turns to his buddy and he says, hey, why'd you throw that clock out the window? And Bazooka Joe says, I wanted to see time fly. And his friend says, time? Rather an ethereal concept, don't you think, Joe? Time itself is but a construct of our imagination. It just like goes on this like paragraph about the nature of time.
As he's reading it. Yeah, it's really.
And I was just like, that's a really high concept bit, Michael. Like, holy shit. Good for you.
That's in his wheelhouse. I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see him
delivering. And then the rest
that.
Of it is kind of vehicles for impressions and isn't so good. But
yeah.
And then like before that, he was a PA on Mr. Rogers.
That's wild.
That was where he actually started because they shot that in Pittsburgh. And so he was just like a guy.
When he was Michael Douglas.
Yes, when he was Michael Douglas. And so he was just a guy on set and they feature him in a couple of episodes and he's like very young. And so that's kind of a cool like Keaton thing for me because who the fuck doesn't love Mr. Rogers?
I
know. The fact that Michael Keaton was part of that is very fun.
Also, in my head, I never remember Michael Keaton being young. Like even in Mr. Mom, he's not like young, right?
No, he's already like, kind of balding and like maybe late 30s, early 40s.
And he's always
40s.
Playing sort of like the anxious guy. Like, so I can't, like I couldn't even imagine Keaton being young ever.
Yeah, it's funny. He's very thin and kind of has like really bushy hair and, but he's not as energetic. He's not as keyed up yet. Probably not as like confident in his own vibe.
He's so, So we were just talking about Mr. Mom.
Mom was a big one for me too. That was probably in my early first
that was something I watched as a kid and was like, this movie is great, I love this movie. Same. But I didn't put together that I loved it because I mean Terry Garr, so amazing.
Yeah,
Martin Mull, so amazing. But Keaton, like, of course I didn't put it together that this, like, I think the first time I saw it was before I recognized that like actors were maybe appealing or like, right. you know, I didn't, I just yeah. knew I liked this movie.
You're just yeah. absorbing almost the story of a movie right. more than like, oh, this, I'm tracking this person's career.
Yeah. Like me and Lapkus talked about on Raised by TV, like how long it took you to realize like people were actually making the things you were watching. Like she said, like,
yeah, that's
interesting. It was like way too late in life that she right. realized that commercials were actors and not just people who were like, I sure. actually do like this.
Sure. Yeah. But you would never, right. yeah, like, of course. Like I don't remember the moment when right. that occurred to me. But it happened.
It definitely, for a while, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they're making these movies. Like, someone is, like, right on the other side right. or something.
But
yeah.
to you, you're just like, I had fun watching Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
right.
Yeah, and then I, like...
I loved Gung Ho as a kid,
Gung Ho is an interesting one that I didn't see until kind of later, and my dad was sort of like, yeah, this was one, and we, like, watched it, and it's, like, very racist.
It's very...
because
it's
if the premise of that one is he is, like, a manager at an American car manufacturer, and the company gets, like, bought out by a Japanese car manufacturer, and so a bunch of Japanese executives move to their American town, and he has to work with them.
And there's
all about, and like isn't that a pain in the ass?
yeah, and it's all about, unfortunately, like the premise is the Japanese people have a more efficient way to do
yes.
it.
yes,
and it just goes against American values.
Yeah, it just pisses us off that we don't get to like, fuck up our
we
cars.
We can make more money.
Please, the cars will be safer. we'll all get rich. Others
it's
are like
but what
Jesus.
About my three fat white friends who yeah. are like, will be lost off the factory line. Yeah. Yeah.
They want me to do calisthenics at work, these fucking psychos. like, that's, it's a very, they, I think they do learn to work together and appreciate their differences in the end, but he's, it's a rough road.
Keaton is a great fish out of water actor.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, frazzled. Like, yeah. he's good at the, I'm frazzled, managing more than he can handle. That's what Mr. Mom is.
And that
certainly.
False confidence or that confident idiot part comes in a lot when he has to pretend to be like, I'm not actually stressed at all as to what's going on.
Yeah.
I've got everything under control. Like, right, and he exactly. does that joke well.
Yeah.
Like, in Gung Ho, the best, my favorite joke he does is like, when the car comes out without a windshield at the end, they're like counting how many cars they got done in a certain time. He's like, spoiler alert, they test them.
Yeah.
And the last car, they're like coming out and they're like less and less done. And the last yeah. one comes out without a windshield. And Keaton like squints and walks over where there's no windshield and just goes, with his finger, cleans it, and obviously Christ. Makes the noise with his mouth. And the Japanese guys are like, roll their eyes
that's
at him.
Insane.
Like, they're so, they get it. They like, yeah, and it's so funny to me that he's like, yeah. oh, Jesus. Yeah. And he yeah. plays it so real. He's like,
yeah, to embrace mime in that moment is right. very funny. Yeah, that's a great instinct.
Hello, listeners. Well, I want to talk to you guys about Robinhood, which is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They want to make financial services work for everybody, not just rich people. It's truly a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Look, it's really easy to use. Robinhood lets you, like, they just give you charts and market data, and all you have to do is just, it's literally like tap, 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 and there you go. You're making investments. You're placing a trade. The Robinhood web platform also lets you look at collections, like 100 most popular. You can look under different sectors to help narrow it down, like curated categories, like female CEOs. So say you only want to invest in companies with female CEOs. Timely, you can do that. And also, there's analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. Honestly, I don't know much about the stock market, and I've been messing around with Robinhood for a couple of days now, and it truly is simple. It's very easy. I'm looking forward to seeing what I could do with this thing. I'm learning about investing as I'm actually investing rather than like someone else doing it for me and me trying to figure out what's going on. I'm like actually getting information while I'm learning how to do this. I'm pumped. Look, guys, try it yourself. Forget me. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at mighty.robinhood.com. That's mighty.robinhood.com. Check it out. We need to be doing more about our skin, especially as we get older. Soap and water are just not enough to prevent aging, okay? And here's the trick. I know what you're thinking to yourself right now. I don't know what to do about my skin. I've just been scrubbing myself with the same old washcloth for 12 years. But there is something you can do to fight against aging, and it's starting. It's right there, right in front of you. It's 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for skincare, hair loss, sexual wellness for men. Fight aging with all that fun stuff. Here, look. Let's talk about Hims Anti-Aging Kit. It's a custom prescription cream tailored to your skin that keeps your skin looking youthfully smooth by reducing the appearance of wrinkles and fine lines. The secret's not a secret. It's tretinoin. Oh, man. Its results are backed by science. Look, that's how you know it works. I can barely know how to pronounce it. It can renew and restore skin, increases collagen, which is the protein that keeps your skin firm. I'm sure you've heard me scream about ingesting collagen on this podcast before. It takes seconds to apply. You don't have to visit a fancy dermatologist or pay high prices to get it, because Hims connects you, like Hims has done for other male wellness products. They connect you with doctors who evaluate your skin need and prescribe you custom anti-aging treatments. So you don't even have to go in-person doctor's office, all that, and you can get the product shipped right to your door. So it's your skin. Do you want to be a face in the crowd or the face in the crowd? Order now and save $20 off your first month of the Hims Anti-Aging Kit. Lock in those looks now and get your first month of anti-aging for $20 off. Go to hims.com/mightysc. Go to 4hims.com/mightysc. That's forhims.com/mightysc. 4hims.com/mightysc.
The one that I guess was his breakout, which I hadn't seen until more recently, but was,
Night Shift.
Night Shift, yeah. Yes. Night Shift. Yes. And that's definitely like, that feels like the type that we still see in movies all the time, of almost like your Danny McBride, your Jonah Hill, of yeah. this kind of like vaguely burnout kind of fuck up friend.
Yeah,
who's got like a million smart, great business ideas.
Smarter than thou, but dumb.
Yeah.
Confident, but a low status,
yeah.
anxious, but mm-hmm. like bold, you know?
Yeah, and it felt like he definitely established a big part of what he could do in that.
That movie.
And he's really good in
he's
it.
He's so good. And that was a movie for me. I maybe talked about this dude a couple of times on my podcast, but when my dad worked as a stagehand at Fox 5 News
right.
In New York, and I went to work with him a few times, and he had a friend, Murph, who worked with him. And Chris Murphy knew like so much shit about movies, but he was just a 35 to 40 year old man who right. worked in the business.
Right.
And I didn't realize like that would eventually be all of my, you know, my my friends would be like that.
Right.
But as a kid, he would be like, oh yeah, you like Mr. Mom? Have you seen Night Shift? Keaton is peaking that. And like
right.
he was like quoting movies and knew I was into comedy and just kept teaching me about
Very
that.
Cool.
And I was like, and in hindsight, that would be like me if I ran into a 15-year-old kid who's like, I watched Monty Python and I loved it. I'd be like, come here,
right.
son.
Yeah, you'd rattle off
yeah,
at
yeah.
least one or two
Yeah, I'd be
things.
Like, well,
yeah.
I got something for you. Yeah.
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So I was so high. And then he's the one who said like, one time he said, Barney Rubble, what an actor. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, that's from Night Shift. It's Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
what is
yeah.
that? And then yeah. we fuck. I love that movie.
He's really good in it. And it's such a weird movie. It's Henry Winkler is the lead, which was so interesting too, was to see like young Henry, because it's directed by Ron Howard,
yeah.
right? So it's like a real Happy Days party.
But he's so unfons.
He's so unfons. He's this kind of uptight straight man. And like a leading romantic man too. So you're kind yeah. of like, wow, that's interesting. Like,
and the premise is that
they start a brothel out of a morgue. They run a brothel out of a morgue for some reason,
yeah.
which is very dark and extremely problematic.
Yeah.
And guys, I hate to tell you, but they don't handle it super great.
Yeah, it's
they
not.
It's not 100%
it's not smooth.
Yeah. it's
not a smooth landing.
A lot of dead hooker jokes.
Yep.
That one? Yeah.
A lot of dead hooker jokes, but a lot of great business.
A lot of great Keaton.
And Keaton is pitching fake business ideas.
Fake
the
business
classic
ideas,
riff.
Which, like, of course, I don't remember any of them.
The
now,
one but. The one that always stands out in my head is like, why don't they make tuna with the mayonnaise already in it? And that's the pitch. And like, Henry Winkler's like, nobody likes, not everybody likes mayo yeah. in their tuna. He's like, who doesn't like mayo in their tuna? Like, that's his good. Pitch.
Like, yeah. Like
that's
disgusting.
The level of shit we're talking about in
yes.
this movie that I'm now telling everyone
yes.
that listens to this podcast.
You got it, dude. It's brilliant. No, but it's a really, it's one that I think if you are a Michael Keaton fan or you're interested in becoming one, that's like a kind of seminal performance in terms of it was a big breakout for him.
Yeah.
It kind
of, and you can see the archetype of the character. Just
yes.
I'll picture this. He's like, Henry Winkler shows up to work. His coworker doesn't hear him because he's got a Walkman and
his motherfucker.
This motherfucker is listening to music.
Can you believe it? He's wearing a jacket that's a little brightly colored.
Yeah, and his feet are in sneakers and on the table.
Yeah.
This is going to be he better not air drum at any point.
I think this is what women and people of color are upset about when they talk about white mediocrity yeah, and people like, still getting success. It's like, that's an interesting character to you guys.
40 years
that's enough
that
you guys could talk about it for 45 minutes on a fucking podcast. Then you're like, can you believe this white man brave enough to riff and put his feet up on the desk?
And is that character archetype? It was like the adult Zach Morris that just like, yeah. That like lived forever where we were, we yeah. loved it. Yeah.
It's fun. And it's kind of Ferris Bueller-y or
yes,
something.
Yes,
everyone
yes.
loves a rogue breaking the rules,
right,
male or
course,
female.
Yeah.
I think we can all like that.
I've never seen, my big gap for
sure.
Keaton is I've never seen Clean and Sober. Or if
neither
I have, I don't remember.
Neither have I.
Oh, and that's supposed yeah. to be like his biggest.
That's like one of his biggest, most successful kind of dramatic turns that yeah. he got a lot of praise
and we
for
both
that.
Decided and we both to do like, a podcast it, about how good of an actor he is without having seen that movie.
I know.
I'm like, wow, I can't yeah. believe I'm going to admit this to Demi. Hey, me neither.
Yeah, me neither, buddy.
I actually haven't seen a lot of these. I really love Batman.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Michael Douglas. Oh, fuck. The China syndrome.
I got
anyway,
all this pussy eating material yes, I brought with me.
Yeah, that's why I came on with the ham fisted. Boy, if that isn't one of the more like dark celebrity public betrayals I've ever heard. Like he gets to marry a gorgeous, talented, like 25 years younger woman than him, and like just rats her out to the public of like, yeah, I guess eating her out gave me cancer. And you're like, what? You're lucky she let you do that.
Yeah, her pussy killed me.
Yeah.
Okay. Easy pal.
Anyway, so fuck Michael Douglas. This is about Michael Keaton.
We're talking.
No, yeah, Clean and Sober is his big dramatic turn where he plays an alcoholic. Is that
yes,
what it is?
Yeah.
And he's like kind of finally trying to kick it. And
yeah. And I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Have you seen My Life?
No.
Okay, I've seen My Life. That one's like a tearjerker.
Yeah.
That's the one where he's dying and he starts making VHS tapes for his unborn son. Like,
oh, man.
Yeah, it's really fucking.
That's the heavy. Well, yeah. For you, that's
that's
right,
a
right in the
bullseye.
Wheelhouse. Yeah, exactly.
Ouch.
I mean, for any of us, but yes.
Yeah. Wheel meet house.
Yeah, it's like, yes, I've seen that one and cried and jerked off to it a few times. I don't know. It's a really confusing. It's a really
you
confusing
gotta see,
movie.
Man. Night Shift.
Yeah. Yeah, so I haven't seen. Yeah, there's definitely some ones in the 90s.
He was prolific for
he
15
made a lot
years,
and
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we should talk more about Batman. I feel like we right. dipped our toe in Batman yeah, here.
Well, so let's jump back to Batman.
Batman was the other one I like saw and just loved, and not to be the umpteenth straight white guy on a podcast saying he loves Batman, but that did really make me love Batman. Was like an important character to me as a
yes.
youth, and still always will be. I unfortunately doesn't that piss you off? Like for me now, seeing like Ben Affleck like as Batman and being like. There's parts of it that are okay. Like
right.
it's just like I'm just like, can I be done with this? Can I be
it's
released from this
character? It's a testament to how good Keaton was or Adam West was at it that it still has yet to be tarnished despite
yeah.
like everyone taking cracks at
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like,
I think
Christian Bale
in.
Christian Bale reinvigorated it in yep. a way where it's like maybe it's not exactly for me, but holy shit. They tried something here.
I mean,
but
I love
like,
those ones.
Ben
yeah.
Affleck couldn't kill it. Val Kilmer couldn't kill it. George Clooney couldn't kill it.
Yeah, somehow he yeah. just keeps going, and it's probably just because a generation of guys like us
yeah.
like had it burned into our heads.
Well,
by,
now
like,
there's
going to
be
Keaton.
Like 25 Batmans, right? Like DC
yeah.
was like, forget the extended universe. We have a different idea. Let's just all make our own Batman movies.
Their whole structure is so good. The fact that there are currently like two prestige actors playing the Joker in different timelines is like, what are you doing? Well, how is this going
to
be?
Not to mention the fourth actor to play a Joker.
Yeah, it's just like what the hell are you talking? And you can't beat Jack Nicholson in that first.
Hey,
joke.
It's me, your Uncle Ringo.
It's so absurd. Yeah, but I think you know, as fans, I guess were upset with the casting of Keaton at the time of going into it, sort of being like. What, you're casting the guy from Night Shift as Batman? Like,
was
what
he,
are you doing?
Was Beetlejuice before?
Beetlejuice was before, I think. I refuse to check.
I mean, we can't.
So no, but I'm pretty sure Beetlejuce was before.
Because that's why Burton's like, then we should work with this. I should work with this
yes,
guy again.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's
it's so
one.
Funny
yeah.
for him to be bad. Like,
it's
I recently great. Rewatched it for Action Boys, and it was just on the rewatch, I was like, oh my God. this is so crazy that this is what a superhero movie
it's
was
really crazy
once.
Yeah, and kind of, well, in a lot of ways one of the first big ones, you know, certainly like Superman was just before that,
yeah, and like a little while, yeah.
And there were some other ones before those, but yeah, definitely like the modern kind of what is now, it's completely set the wheels in motion for everything that we're experiencing now, for
right.
better or for worse. Jesus Christ. I like, and that's why I just want to be out of the prison of these comic book
all
universes.
Conversations lead to Marvel
it's
movies
horrible.
Eventually somehow.
It's horrible. Yeah. Like, there's just should be so much more to culture than that. Not that I can't have fun watching those movies, not that I don't still go see
I
them
love
and
that.
Enjoy
yeah,
them.
I love
like,
it, but it's like not Jesus. At the expense of other stuff.
It's
yeah.
pretty wild. But so unfortunately this was the first, but yeah, I think Tim Burton nailed it in the casting, just because of, like you're saying, he is the best Bruce Wayne, just because he's so
the
weird.
The eccentric part, yeah, yeah, the eccentric like, part is huge.
He can, he's just wearing a tuxedo and walking around and talking to people, but he's is really strange.
There's something because
you're just like,
there's
what
something
is your deal?
Off about him, yeah. but off in like a way where he seems better. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's like that, and I think that's perfect for the Bruce Wayne thing. Where yeah. you're like, he's unusual, but I feel like he is
he's okay.
He's cooler than me.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. Yeah,
that moment when he follows Robert, when he follows Arliss and yes, Basinger, oh and he's
truly horrible in that movie. Yo, hey, what do you think about this guy who dresses as a bat? Like, yeah. you're just like, shut up! I'm trying to watch this movie.
I know
he's horrible.
Shut up! I'm trying to watch this movie. Yeah. Right. Move out of the way. And also, why do you have to be, like? We have Kim Basinger. Like, just show. Yeah. Her
Don't worry
all
about
the
it.
Time.
That would be a much better scene if it was just the two of them. That would be a really fun, flirty scene.
Right.
But instead, you got this knucklehead there, too.
Oh,
yeah.
God. But when he's like, well, yeah, well, I should know. Yeah,
yeah, because I bought it. Yeah. Yeah, so, she's like, "Where did? How do you know where this armor came from? How do you know it came from Japan?" He goes, "Because I bought it in Japan." You're like, "Ooh,
in Japan."
And that scene where he's just hanging upside down in his like back extender machine yeah, or yeah. whatever,
just, really leaning into the bat there.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jesus Christ, he's so strange. But he's got that weird like twinkle behind his eye that I feel like makes him seem like he could be insane, which is definitely the character of Bruce Wayne and Batman. Is like, oh, this guy's traumatized,
yeah.
and insane. He's not Superman. Man who's like, maybe I'll help people.
Yeah, he's
like
charming.
A psycho.
He's charming, but in like an insane way. He's like he's like Alec Baldwin.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you're charming, but I'm not going to cross
Boy,
you.
That just makes me think I bet there's an alternate universe where Alec Baldwin got cast in the role of a Batman. He would have been like the perfect dude at the time.
Yeah, he's a good Bruce Wayne, and I'm sure
tough.
He can handle being Batman.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would have been weird.
Wait, was he one of the, he was the Shadow.
He was
though.
The Shadow, which was like as close, like Liam Neeson was Darkman, and Alec Baldwin was the Shadow.
Billy Zane was Phantom.
So they all tried.
Everyone got a
but
crack.
But no one pulled it off quite like him. But four white guys got a chance. Yeah. But yeah, and then I even like the second one as kind of weird and all over the place.
Oh,
Batman Returns.
So fun. I mean, thank God Pfeiffer
Michelle
brings
Pfeiffer,
the whole thing
unbelievable.
Up.
Unbelievable. Christopher Walken is insane
oh,
in that
right,
movie.
Yes.
As his name is Shrek in that movie, which is pretty good.
Donkey.
Yeah. And he does all the lines from Shrek. It's pretty insane.
It's oddly predictive.
Yeah, pretty prescient.
I can't believe we never really went after Shrek for ripping all these.
Ripping off Batman Returns. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
it's
Batman
a fun
Returns.
One. I like that fits in a subgenre of movie that I was trying to categorize this with my girlfriend the other night. But movies that I like are movies where it happens to be Christmas for like some big piece of the action.
Oh, of course.
It's not about that it's Christmas, but that's the backdrop they've chosen.
Big Shane
something
Black,
about that
big
really,
Shane Black fan.
Big Shane Black trope for sure. Yeah. It's like LA Christmas where it just happens
like,
to
like
be.
It's like Lethal Weapon. He's Lethal Weapon is starts in a Christmas tree yard.
Yes, exactly. Die
Kiss,
Hard,
Kiss,
of course.
Bang,
Kiss,
bang.
Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had what else from Shane Black? Because there's something else that takes place at Christmas. Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Shane Black's Home Alone.
I would watch that.
That'd be great. Shane Black's great.
Wait, did I see that like Ryan Reynolds is making Stoned Alone, like a reboot of Home Alone, but like starring like an adult stoner?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I hate that idea, and also it totally kills a speck of mine. I both hate it, know it's dumb, and wish I would have wrote it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's one of those titles that just sells itself. You're like, yeah, that's all right. That's a movie. That's yeah. ready to happen.
I can't win. Cannot like, fight that. Yeah, yeah, no point in standing against this tide.
Yeah, exactly.
Stoned Alone will be Stoned in theaters shortly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's, but yeah, Returns is one that I like a lot.
Have you seen Pacific Heights?
No. And see, okay. This is my other huge gap with okay. Michael Keaton.
Yeah. And again, so this you know, one I can get on a soapbox because I've seen it.
This,
yeah.
And so this is the one where he plays like a psycho next door, right?
Yeah. That, and it's like, it's Matthew Modine and I forget the
who
actress.
I don't care for.
Yeah. But he's okay. He's good. He's yeah. fun. He yeah. brings, and it's a
he's
couple.
He's fine as a straight man. Yeah, yeah.
They rent to a dude who then like is... you know, a lunatic and like yeah. manipulates them and doesn't pay. And
like a classic thriller.
Yeah.
Guy.
Just like a weird, and it's like, first of all, with hindsight, it's like, this is like some of the most rich people shit ever of like
sure.
the worst nightmare sure. is I have enough property to rent a room
right,
to someone
to a
else.
Neighbor.
And that person ends up being a psychopath.
Yeah. Really.
It's like, of course, a millionaire screenwriter's idea is like,
yes.
I would love to rent the casita out back, but what if we rented it to a psychopath?
Yeah, really. He's just scratching his head for like,
no one's
what can I write a movie about? My guest house?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah.
But he is truly terrifying.
Yeah.
He's like legit sketchy.
And he's just like a murderer kind of dude.
He starts off just sort of like strange and unusual. And yeah. then like there's like weirder and weirder stuff. Like, no, there's no record of someone with that name.
Sure, sure,
no, that
sure.
person died.
Classic
50
years. 90s thriller.
Yeah, just like
yeah.
And I don't even
I love that.
I don't even know how crazy he ends up being, but it's more like just yeah. the actual event. Like he starts like fucking like like they find like jars and jars of roaches and shit in his house, and he's
nice.
Like been unleashing them towards him. He like changes the locks and shit.
Yeah.
It's like all so sketchy.
This is one that I meant to see for forever, and I would really like to see it just because I think that's a great setup of like, I'll watch a mystery unfold with him of like, if the whole point of it is he's weirder than he seems, like
yeah,
I'm
like,
happy to watch
him,
like
yeah.
keep showing me piece by piece
yeah.
how that is true.
Yeah,
like I'm ready to see it, and he's the perfect me. Guy to watch do that is to watch get like creepy. Creepier and creepier.
Oh,
and
yeah, he's so
oh,
good.
Shit. Plus, but, I think that's fun. Of like a Nightmare Tenant is a fun idea.
Right?
That's,
yeah,
like,
it makes total sense.
And there are all sorts like there have been all sorts of good like long read articles in the last like 5 years or so about like people who established like squatters' rights somewhere in California.
I love the loophole, man. In New York, especially, like I love when I was living there, like reading some New York Times thing where it's like,
yeah,
and they refuse to leave. And now the Soho loft that's like 5,000 square
yeah.
feet is home to 40 artists who
yeah.
live there full time. Yeah, like, yes!
Yeah, you're like, fuck yeah.
You fucking
I know. There's
anyone
some
who
of the
has
weird...
like, I don't have the energy to dedicate any effort to even my career. Like, so
yeah.
why would I dedicate it
why
to
would
another
I do
cause?
This?
So...
Like, I read a good one about some professor who like rented a house from a woman in Berkeley and then just like ruined her life by like refusing to leave and then like counter suing her over and over.
Ugh.
You know, just like crazy. Like, sounds like this guy of Pacific Heights.
Yes,
crazy
yes,
shit.
Just
you're just like,
high.
What is going on with you? Like, why are you this much of a psycho con man? You know,
I love
it's
that.
Amazing.
It's like,
yeah.
yeah, and also, how do you hold down that professor job while
yes.
doing
no,
that?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he taught at several colleges. It was crazy.
Oh, man. People
yeah.
are freaking crazy.
I know.
Dude. Yeah.
yeah.
I could never rent to other people. Like, I would never do that. I would just not want to know anything more than I have to know about strangers.
Yeah, and I think stuff like this is happening more and more with Airbnb because you're just like letting strangers in your house at a much higher rate.
I know. My wife doesn't like us to stay at Airbnbs
really?
That are obviously someone's house and not a rent, not a, a property
yeah,
they bought specifically for
that.
Airbnb. She's
yeah.
like, I don't want to see like pictures of family or like
it's
know
weird.
That their underwear is in the drawers.
Yeah,
like,
when it's too present, it's weird.
Yeah.
I had my bad version of that was the first Airbnb I ever used was in Portland when I went up there for a random weekend and we got an Airbnb that was supposed to be like a one bedroom in some neighborhood. And we got in and it was a one bedroom apartment, but the bedroom door was locked and had a little sign that was like, don't come in, you can't come in here. And so we had to sleep on a futon in the living room.
Oh, yeah,
it's like, what are you doing?
It's not technically a bedroom
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, it's a one bedroom. You have to sleep in your car in the driveway. But
cool.
I
how
do.
Much is this?
Yeah, it's, so that's my Pacific Heights experiences.
So I stayed there for 6 months.
Yes.
Remember when I was
roaches.
Living in Portland?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was doing a lot of stand up. It was fun. Cool town. Great food trucks. I ruined a woman's life.
I hope you like lunch.
Yeah. yeah, really.
I would say that have you Have you seen, well, recently, like, Keaton then went, like, he was on the ice. He was on the ice.
Yeah,
for
I feel like he was kind of hot in those in the 90s. And then I wonder what it was that kind of made him fall off a little more. He probably just aged out of stuff a little bit. Because he was always kind of a, like, thinning hair, sort of unconventional leading man.
Right.
And so I think he just kind of stopped getting offered big, juicy roles like that, would be my guess.
Yeah.
It's certainly what it seems like.
He didn't do much, right? Until, because I felt like the next resurgence I saw of him was in that Will Ferrell movie, the other guys. The other guys.
Was certainly like the comedic resurgence of Keaton, definitely like one of his biggest movies in a minute.
Yeah.
And I think he is so funny in that movie. That's a real dream role for me, him in that movie. And I say dream role, and this, I think this is part of why I like Michael Keaton, of like, I don't think I should actually be cast in a role like that. Again, very humble. I don't think I should get a major supporting role in a Will Ferrell studio comedy. I'm close, but I don't know.
Give it to somebody else. Yeah. I get it.
I don't need it. No, but just in the sense of like, not in a, take the big movie out of it, but just cast in that role in a sketch or a short or a pilot whatever. Right. I don't think I am actually totally right for that, but it would be my dream to do it.
Come on, guys, let's get, all right, let's go,
just
boys.
Just that high status of a kind of an idiot, and like, he has so many really strong like sketch premise bits in that movie.
Oh, I mean, he's doing presentational sketch comedy.
Huge
in those bits,
presentational
right?
sketch comedy.
So the premise, if I remember correctly, the premise of his, he also worked at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, he's a police captain who moonlights at Bed Bath & Beyond for extra
and
cash.
And he often forgets which place
he forgets which job, and that is one of my favorite like sketch scenes, when he bounds in to his workplace and he's like, okay, folks, he's like giving a pep talk, but it's to the Bed Bath & Beyond employees. And he's like, okay, folks, it's full moon out tonight. People are amped. It's going to be crazy. So I need extra patrols going on. Oh, and by the way, the new bath mats are in. And then everyone like applauds and is like, yay. And then he goes, one more thing. We got a serial rapist in Crown Heights. That's for my other job. Ignore that. Well, don't ignore it. If you live in Crown Heights, walk home in Paris.
it's so great.
He's just, and then he does a great little physical bit in that scene too. But he, that's like the perfect game to give. Yeah, it's a movie that, it's such an interesting movie because it's Adam McKay and Will Ferrell. And, so it's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg are like partners on the police force who are like, they do the boring paperwork, but then they get a chance to do a real case. And Michael Keaton is their police captain. And it's really weird because the story is very grounded in the financial crisis of the 2000s.
Yeah.
And like banker thrift, grift, I mean.
They're like stealing the pension, banker stealing a pension. That's where you saw it, McKay started making that turn.
Well, and it's like
you next made, up, The Big Short.
And it's like, hey, man, you shouldn't have made that turn in the middle of another movie.
Yeah.
Because then like the end credits are like
the stats
about the financial crisis. And it's just, I think it's a very good movie. I'm not trying to shit on his choices in that movie, but it is one where it's like, this is sort of a separate idea. It's kind of, you clearly have a lot of ideas about this financial crisis, and this is a silly cop movie.
Yeah, save this for The Big Short.
Yeah,
pal.
Exactly.
Save this for Succession,
which was great, and both of those I love.
I gotta watch Succession.
Finally, like, it took enough people kind of just happening to be like, it's great, because I was turned off because I was like, I don't like stuff about business. I don't get off on business.
All right,
like
billions now. Succession. That's like what I thought.
No, totally. And like the same of like, I never got all the way into Entourage because it felt like business douchebaggy to me. I don't care about how much money you made. It's not exciting to me. But Succession is very, very strong. And Adam McKay, strong instincts there. Yeah. And Big Short, I loved. But yeah, and the other guys, Keaton has such a great part. And I watched a great like behind the scenes thing with them talking about casting Michael Keaton and being so excited that he was on it. And there's a great scene where Will Ferrell has been like shot towards the end, and Michael Keaton gets down on his knees to like help him. And he's like, he's so concerned. He's like, oh my God, are you doing all right? Oh my God, he's dying. He's dying. He like screams for help. And he's like, no, I'm not dying. I'm fine. He's like, oh, okay. And then Michael Keaton like says, oh, you're going to be all right. And then he goes to stand up, but then he goes, ah, my knee, and supports himself by pushing on Will Ferrell's face to like stand up. And Will Ferrell in this interview said, like, if you watch that, we cut out of that shot as late as we possibly could before I started cracking up, because it was like not planned. Michael Keaton just did like the funniest shit to me out of nowhere.
So funny.
It's so great.
I will say that movie, this is not a Keaton joke in the movie, but it features one of my favorite jokes is when It's Sam Jackson and The Rock are the original partner, right? Like they set up that they're because like
yeah, they're the badass cops. Yeah,
so they're the badass cops. They're on the roof and they look down at the bushes. They go, aim for the bushes, and they both jump, and it just immediately cuts to the funeral. Yeah. It's like I don't know what they were thinking leaping off of that building.
It's a really good hard laugh on that. Yeah, there's some great shit in there, and that funeral scene has the other big sketch premise that they give Keaton, which is. Where Wahlberg and Ferrell start whisper fighting with each other at the funeral, and then Keaton comes in to whisper break it up. So they're whispering fiercely at each other, and then he runs and goes, "What the hell's the matter with you guys?" Like, it just is doing the police captain scene, but at a whisper.
It's
very
so funny.
Just
so
like good, simple shtick to give him. Yeah. So that felt like a cool like comedic return because he'd been doing like weird action movies and playing the president in like First Daughter and stuff. You know, he just started like playing some dads in random stuff. Yeah. And
but what anything recent of his that we should check out?
Well, Birdman, I think it was the giant
one.
Right?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really liked it. I feel like it's gotten a lot of backlash since it was big, and I understand.
I mean, it's fucking crazy. Yeah, I get it. But I love Ed Norton. I love Michael Keaton.
I think there's a million great performances in that. Yeah, and that felt like such a cool. I feel like a lot of older actors like that will do that kind of Oscar Beatty movie where they sort of play themselves.
Yeah.
And this felt like a very cool, well done version of that.
Right.
And I thought it was a crime that he didn't win Best Actor for that. I thought that was long overdue. I forget. It was somebody also very good, but but they had that shot of Keaton put his speech back in his lapel and his shirt pocket or coat pocket. Like someone caught that on camera.
Oh.
I know that broke my heart. Oh my God.
I mean, of course, everyone has to write a speech, but that stresses me out.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't write it. I would not write it because it would be like, that's just asking for like the most heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, it would be so brutal to throw that piece of paper away later.
Oh, yeah. Do you save it and let anyone else read it ever? That's
no,
like
I don't think you can. It's too insane.
Crazy. I think you just got to do it on a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, just do a podcast of all
Michael
of
Keaton, come on High and Mighty and
please,
read,
Michael,
and read the acceptance.
Please reply to our emails to come.
Why won't you answer us?
And then Toy Story 3, he's Ken. He's the voice of Ken, the Ken doll on that. He's very funny.
It's true.
He was in the Cars movies, which I haven't seen, but he was in those. I feel like there's like one other like giant late 90s one that I'm forgetting, but then also more recently, Spotlight was like
last
big.
He was fantastic in Spotlight.
He's really good in that, and he's not doing the greatest Boston accent of all time.
But to be fair, he's not the only one. Yeah. It's one of those, you don't know who to grade against who in that movie.
It's very tough. Yeah, that is one
it's
of those.
It's not a fucking Mark Wahlberg, Peter Berg movie where you know everyone.
Yeah, you're like, all right, they got it. Yeah, yeah.
I think they got it.
Yeah, they got it covered.
Did you see the Boston?
Bombing one? What was it? Patriots Day?
Patriots Day.
I didn't
see
it, no. No, I was just like, I don't know. Yeah. What was it like?
It felt insane. It felt like Mark Wahlberg was shooting it on the fly with the director. Like, he was like, come over here.
Yeah. And I'll say some Boston stuff to these people.
He's literally like, he's got a limp in the movie. He like hurt his leg and he's like limping and screaming in a Boston accent for the whole movie as like a cop. He's like, "All right, let's go here," you know? Like it's just like
I'm
nonstop.
Very bored by the idea of that.
I couldn't believe and I was like, this is a boring movie. But underrated movie, Stronger.
That's Jake Gyllenhaal.
About a dude who gets injured.
Yeah, he was really going for the Oscar with that, and I think, I guess it would be eligible this year,
maybe?
I think.
No, I think it was too long ago.
But that looked really good.
That one is really good.
Jake Gyllenhaal's great at like hardcore stuff like that.
Yeah, he's
like, he'll go for
he
it.
Seems
to, like, be...
like, he seems like he might be an intense guy to be around in real life.
Yeah.
But it works in that movie.
Yeah.
It's weirdly funny. Like, he's got like this whole Boston family. Like,
fun.
Literally, like, rescue me actors, you know, like Dennis Leary's Boston comedy friends.
Yes,
like, there's
Bill Burr's here. Huh, that's weird.
He is.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Bill Burr.
Bill Burr is like a brother or something like that.
Bill Burr rocks. Well, I know he's the brother in The Heat.
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of?
You might be thinking of that.
Okay, well,
because that was the ultimate for me. Like, great, Bill Burr's here.
Yeah,
like, perfect.
It's so funny.
Walk on through, man. It's awesome.
His bit about, like, you can't just go up to a kid at the mall and rub his head and go, "Hey, squirt anymore." It's like, that's
a
whole nother.
That's a weird one.
That's such a funny.
Oh, I just remembered a very specific Michael Keaton entry, Jack Frost.
Oh, shit.
That's the one you said.
That's the one you said you watched instead of Clean and Sober and Pacific Heights?
Yes.
Twice.
Yeah, I shelved those two and was like, nah, let's go with the tried and true. No, that's like...
Because when I said, do you want to do High and Mighty? You were like, yeah, I'd love to. I want to talk about Jack Frost. I'm like, can we blow it out to like maybe talk about...
No, I just want to talk about his weird 90s supernatural Christmas comedy, but not vehicle. Yeah.
That's the one.
It's a nightmare.
It's like Mrs. Doubtfire. Like he dies, but he's like, no, it's not like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, you know, the first actor Mrs. Doubtfire.
No, but isn't he like a distant dad because he's in a band?
He's in a band. And this one hits close to home because my dad is a semi-professional harmonica player.
Is he really?
Yes.
And a current snowman?
And a current snowman. Yes, he passed away several Christmases ago. We didn't know where he was, but then I found him in the yard, and our relationship is now stronger than ever. It's insane. Yeah, but so
the premise is he's a
harmonica player. Harmonica player dad who's in a blues band in Colorado, and he's got to go do a gig on Christmas Eve, kid. He's sorry. He'd love to be here, but he's got to hit the road. And then he plays a shit gig. I think that he even gets like halfway there, and then he's like, they get caught in a snowstorm, and he's like, what am I doing? And he like turns around to go back and dies in a car wreck, and then comes back as a snowman that his son builds on their lawn. And kind of haunts the family,
right,
and
like
then like helps his wife find love again.
Yeah, and then do I remember the snowman playing a harmonica at one point?
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%.
I'm like, I'm high right now. I'm like, I was probably stoned when I watched this movie. I remember a fucking snowman plays
a snowman
in
a... plays in the movie. Yeah, and the snowman is horrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Just, like, really scary to look at.
Wasn't there also like a snowman movie with like a similar name? That's like
I think
a
it was
movie?
Also called. Like
Jack Frost
or like Killer Frost or something, and it's the same exact shit, but he's a psycho murderer. Right, so it is an evil snowman who is animated exactly the same as the Michael Keaton one, and I think they came out pretty concurrently. It was a Deep Impact Armageddon situation,
a volcano Dante's Peak situation.
And this one was like family friendly, and then like hard R, like slasher movie.
Whoops, took the kids to the wrong one.
Yeah, exactly.
Blown Away. There's the Tommy Lee Jones IRA one, but then there's also a Nicole Eggert sort of like psychosexual trauma. And one time got the wrong one from the video store, unbeknownst to my parents, and it was a winner.
Yes. Always a treat when you're
it
like,
worked well. I was like, wait, I like this movie even more. Here's a thought experiment to take us out of here. You can cast Michael Keaton in a... The way movies are being made now, is there a Marvel character, a movie where you
played a Marvel character?
He was
just Spider-Man.
Oh, wait, and he was very good in Homecoming.
Yes, he was very good in Homecoming.
I totally forgot,
My only gripe with that is I think the movie undercuts his performance when early on he zaps one of his henchmen with a laser beam and kills them. And I liked that. And then he goes, oh, I thought I had it set to stun or whatever. And I was like, no, have him kill that guy. Yeah. I was like, I don't need this like family friendly like Marvel version. I was like, have Michael Keaton be this crazy.
Yeah, he is a nut job. We're going to see him go a little crazy.
He's crazy in that movie. Yeah, I really liked that. I thought that was a good turn with, spoiler alert, but a good turn with him as the other girl's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was like a cool thing. A good use of like the Peter Parker character. It felt like a good Peter Parker specific. He's the one superhero who could be young enough to go over to pick a girl up at prom, and the dad is the villain. Yeah. You know, like he's the only one who could pull off a twist in this vein.
Yeah, like making the girlfriend's dad, already a scary character in a rom-com or whatever, into a villain in a Marvel movie is a very fun, very Peter Parker kind of idea.
It was good, and I like, and casting him as a Birdman again was great. Yeah, I mean, what the fuck? Funny. Why not? Run it back.
Marvel's like, okay, this guy can do the bird stuff. We're gonna put Norton in this.
We trust you. Yeah, really. Yeah,
we're gonna give Norton another crack.
Yeah, why? God, what happened?
Did you see
there?
Ed Norton at the fucking Bruce Willis roast?
Yeah,
by
I saw some clips of that. Yeah,
that was
yeah.
wild.
It's a little weird. He just is like, he's one of those actors who it's like, nah, you're not built for this kind of thing. You're an actor guy,
you know? And like what he does was really, what he did was a really interesting bit, and it was like well written, and he nails it.
Yeah,
but it's kind of weird.
It's strange.
But then Bruce Willis kills him back when he goes, only Ed Norton would show up and talk about himself for eight minutes. That was like
great.
So fucking
that was really good.
Yeah,
that one of my coworkers at Kimmel, Jesse Joyce, writes for the roasts. Oh, and yeah. I think he wrote a good amount of Bruce Willis's material,
oh,
which is
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I know. It's like, that's very cool. I'm down with that.
Because Bruce killed it.
Yeah, he was great. And there's some really
the
strong
surprise
jokes
Demi, spoiler
surprise
alert.
Surprise Demi. Yeah, that's spoiler awesome. Alert on the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis. But
I mean, I think we called spoiler alert on Beetlejuice.
Yes. Sorry, he's only in 20 minutes of the movie. Okay, so anyway, back to your thought experiment.
So let's pitch a movie for Michael Keaton. Yeah, like, what role would you like to see Michael Keaton play, and what type of movie?
That's really interesting. I feel like, I mean, obviously the mode I like him the most in is that kind of like Beetlejuice sort of weird or like Night Shift kind of riffing guy, but he's sort of aged out of that a little bit, so yeah. I wonder if that would actually be the best for him right now. I feel like... I almost, you know what would be cool to see him in? This isn't necessarily like a would make me the happiest, but it'd be cool to see him in like one of those, like one of the movies Bill Murray gets of like a Broken Flowers or
right,
like
yeah.
a kind of a sleepy indie, like a sad kind of Oscar
punctuated
performance.
By like interesting choices.
Yeah, like a, one of those Wes Anderson. He'd be great in a Wes Anderson.
Oh,
movie
I
too.
I can't believe he hasn't broken through as a white man actor.
Yeah, weird. Weird that he hasn't hired that white guy over 50 to be his dad in that movie. Yeah.
I would say, because I'm trying to think of like Michael Keaton as a dad, but in leaning into something that I would love to see him do. And I was thinking like, I don't know what the exact roles are, but like the dynamic of Sean Connery and Harrison Ford in
Last Crusade.
So like... the dad of a action hero,
that's
or the
really
or
good.
Like the very age, like the witness in a crime that the cop
that
has to protect,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
or something
yes,
like
yes.
that. Something
yeah.
to get Michael Keaton in an action situation as his older, fast talking.
I
self.
Like that a
yeah.
lot. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, you yeah. cast him as the young action hero's dad.
The stupid pitch I had in my head first that I generalized was he's a retired cop
yep.
whose one of his cases is bumped back up by a younger, like sort of like
sure,
tough
so
cop.
He's get
and now he's
out
like, I got to go get this guy's help. And he's like, wow, he seems to actually know his way. Even though he's a wise ass older dude,
yeah, that's fun.
You know, he's into gambling. Or
yes,
something.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. He's sort of kooky like that. Yeah, that's a fun zone for him.
P.T. Anderson needs to fucking direct.
That
Keaton.
Would be huge.
You got
to, yeah, because I would like to see. That's another one of my favorites of Keaton's is him and Jackie Brown and Tarantino's
so
Jackie Brown as a great cop, just like a perfect like Sam Jackson has that great line about him of like he's a cop who loves being a cop,
yeah.
and it comes about halfway through, and then it really informs how you watch the rest of those scenes and like when he like turns his chair around backwards and chews a bunch of gum and shit, and you're like, this is great.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
So good at that. Yeah, that would be cool to see him get in maybe some of those kind of, or even like a Scorsese sort of movie of like one of those, a David O. Russell kind of movie, one of those like cool prestige, like hardcore ones, like a Paul Thomas Anderson. Like
P.T. Anderson makes me think of that because like you can get like a role in a movie that's only in it for, you know,
like
20
minutes.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's only
like
in
Martin
six...
Short in Inherent Vice.
Yeah, or like Tom Cruise in Magnolia, you know,
yeah,
like something where you're like
Molina in Boogie Nights.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like some sort of role like that where you just give him, let him do something big and crazy.
Yeah.
A cokehead maybe, like just seeing him coked up in
that
a fucking
would be amazing.
Period piece.
Yeah, I would like to see like long uninterrupted takes of Michael Keaton. I guess what I want is to just stare at Michael Keaton.
I guess what I'm pitching is like a long monologue riff from Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Let's just watch his stand-up.
Yes. We just want to see an hour stand-up special from Michael Keaton.
Are you listening, Comedy Central?
Yeah, please. Please stop your embargo against Keaton stand-up.
Give Keaton the hour. You know, the people want it.
So bad.
Oh, I would fucking... Yeah. We should write it.
Yeah, we should write Michael Keaton's hour of stand-up. Just, do you remember when I was in Pacific Heights?
Can we get rich enough to have that make that work? Like, it's like sort of like a, hey, Michael Keaton, we'll give you $100,000 if you just let us film you for 1 hour reading shit we wrote.
He'd be like, did you kidnap me?
Like,
yes, we did kidnap you. But it's really easy.
$200,000? Hear me out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Comedy Central specials. Look what I did there. Okay. Not ham-fisted at all.
The perfect segue.
Devin, well, first of all, thanks for coming on High and Mighty.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of yours and of this show. So it's a real treat to
and
be
of
here.
Keaton. Look at that.
And
all
Keaton.
Fans all day
the
long.
Things, yeah.
But you have a Comedy Central special coming out.
I do. I have a special, the half hour special coming out on Friday, October 5th at 11 p.m., I believe.
Hell yeah.
Is when it
Get
should
that
be.
Friday night at 11 Friday slot. At 11. Set your DVRs.
What everyone's doing is no one's out doing anything at that time.
Yeah, no, you are definitely at home awake. You're not either out or asleep.
Yeah, really. And you've really planned your evening around the 11 o'clock.
You're just
TV
finishing
thing.
Dinner at 10:45.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Your 9:50 dinner you sat down to eat.
Yeah. Anyway, I love Viacom. Yeah. And,
I would love another one. Yeah, I'm trying to get one.
Please let me go. Yeah, please get Gamers on there. Please let us come back. Holy shit.
Give Keaton one. Let me write it.
Yeah. We're a package deal.
Me, Keaton, and Devin. Yeah. He's like, have you guys gotten Keaton signed off on this? Don't worry about
we'll
it.
We'll get it.
We're going to unzip this duffel bag he's in.
Yeah, exactly.
Once we offer him light and food, he'll let us.
he'll do anything.
So yeah. Friday, October 5th
Friday,
at
October
11 p.m.
at 11 p.m., I believe. And shot it last year in New Orleans, and I'm really excited for people to see it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah. And where are you at on Twitter if people want to roast you for not seeing Pacific Heights? Yeah, and also,
please.
I bet you, here's the
or
best part.
The founder.
I like the founder.
I heard it was
only
good
because of him. It wasn't that great.
I know. That's why I wanted to see it. Just for Dave Horowitz and I have a standing. We like for a year have been like, we need to watch that movie together because he's a huge Keaton head.
Yeah.
And we just have never scheduled it for a year.
God, dude, life gets in the way, doesn't it?
Man. These important priorities. Yeah.
And I would love it, by the way, if everyone starts to roast. I'm like, roast him for not seeing Pacific. And I have the movie name wrong. It's Pacific Blue.
Yeah. Roast him for not seeing Crown Heights. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
I would love to be absolutely wrong.
Because
like,
neither of us are just, we didn't look this up.
I didn't even look this up before you came over, which is something I definitely could have done as the host of a podcast who knew the topic.
Why do it?
Why do it? I'm not trying to work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Monday morning, baby.
Yeah, fuck it. and then I'm on Twitter at that Devin Field.
D-E-V-I-N.
D-E-V-I-N. Yes, an important distinction. Yeah. I know. I need to get a better handle. It's one of those that I got early on and then within a year was like, that's not very good.
Well, what else are you going to get?
Well, I couldn't get at Devin Field because a little stoner kid in Canada had it. And he would just tweet like, parents suck.
Yeah, I couldn't have at Gabris because some like Indonesian woman had it. But she had it and never tweeted and in 15 years or whatever. So I just got it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I killed her.
So I flew to Indonesia. I killed that woman.
And it's worth it because I knocked the J-O-N off my Twitter.
Yeah, thank God. People had
branding.
It's so important, you guys. But you can find me on there.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Roast us for what we got wrong about Keaton movies.
Yeah, please,
but also
so
let
much.
Us know of your low-key Keaton performance or your favorite Keaton joke in any one of these fucking movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Devin, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, John.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.